me, it's growing my faith in the ways of really trusting him with their future as well. So for me, it was one thing, you know, I had surrendered to the Lord a long time before I had them for my future. But then once you have these little kids, and it was almost like it was a big challenge for me to trust that his best for them is better than what I think. I mean, when I say it out loud, it sounds silly, but yeah, I mean, just trusting that even, especially for us in our move to Taiwan, was my biggest challenge of faith with them, and trusting that they're going to be okay and he's going to meet all the needs, all their needs, not only mine, but all their needs as well, away from family and all of that. So yeah, I would just say it's definitely challenged my faith with him to be their good father as well.
And you, Jalen?
Well, I was a control freak, and so I learned how I can't really control my kids. No amount of manipulation or punishment or anything I do can change their hearts. And I learned that I need to surrender my will for my kids, like Rhonda said. I need to surrender my will for them, my desires for them, to God, and pray and ask God to touch their hearts with His Holy Spirit, and ask God to have His way in them. If He calls them even to, you know, to be a missionary in North Korea, am I going to say, no, God, no? Or am I going to say, no, thy will be done and not mine?
Yeah, when you both mentioned sacrifice or surrender, and in thinking about today being Mother's Day, and connecting it to one of the mothers well known in the Bible, Mary, the mother of Jesus, her surrender to God, right? Her response to God when he called her to be the mother of Jesus. I don't know if you remember in the Gospels, it says that she wasn't afraid. She just wanted to do the will of God. And she just said to say, well, according to your will, let your will be done, right? I'm your servant, let your will. What is it? I can't remember what she says. Let it be according to your word, because I'm your servant. And so could you share a little bit more about what your yes to God has looked like, whether it's specific to you being a mom or just overall in your life, Pastor Hope?
Yeah, my yes to God was at a turning point in my motherhood, because while I was pregnant with Samuel, my first baby, I think it's maybe in June when I was pregnant, maybe 2 months, then I got a phone call from the doctor, and he said, there's a very high possibility for your baby to have Down syndrome. So we strongly recommend that you come to the hospital and do a puncture as soon as possible. And I asked him, is it only for like newborn screening? And he said, yeah, for sure. If he's a Down syndrome baby, would you like this kind of baby? And I didn't say anything, but in my heart, I was praying. Then I told the doctor, I believe he will be healthy. Even if not, I'm going to raise him up, because he's my baby. And maybe after several seconds, it's silent over the other end of the phone. And I say, hello? And the doctor said, well, you are a great mom. You don't need any puncture. Bye. And he hung up the phone. And after he hung up the phone, you know, when he called, I was actually praying for Taichung. I was living in Taichung and Taiwan. But after the phone, I threw away my prayer book, and I prayed like crazy for my baby. And the following week, it was actually very chaotic, because the following week, almost every day, 4 or 5 or 6 times, the image of a Down syndrome baby will cross my mind. And I begin to like paralyze. I was not able to do anything. I was thinking, wow, will I be able to raise up a Down syndrome baby and a teenager and even a man? And I remember one time I was crossing the road, waiting for the light to turn green. And a middle-aged Down syndrome man standing beside me. I look at him, and I was panicking in my heart. Will I be able to raise a Down syndrome baby all the way to middle-aged? I don't know. So the following week, every day, I was like paralyzed several times a day whenever the image came into my heart. But I felt at the time, I felt the Lord was asking me one question: should that be your response? And when I said that, I felt like I was standing on two roads, on the forge of two roads. One road is called trust. The other road is called worry. And I say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I say yes to you because you are the one who will finish every good thing in me and in my baby. So starting from that day, every day still five times or six times, the image of a Down syndrome baby still crossed my mind. But whenever that image came up, I no longer feel paralyzed, but instead I stood up and say, Lord, I praise you because I know you are powerful. You can heal my cancer. You can heal my baby. Even he has any genetic defect, that nothing is possible. Nothing is impossible with you. And I cast the spirit of Down syndrome away from him in Jesus' name. And so every day, five or six times, I praise the Lord. I bind the deeds of the devil. And 6 months later, Samuel was very punctual. He came out on his due day, on my due day, December 9th. So when he came out, I didn't check his number of fingers or toes. It didn't matter, 11 or 12, it's okay. I look at his face directly. Wow, super cute, super normal. So I praise the Lord. Well, I really learned a lesson, and I say yes to God every time.
Jalen, could you share a little bit about your yes?
So when I had my three boys, I was a career woman. I did not ever, okay, the thought of staying home with my kids actually really paralyzed me and made me very depressed. I was working maybe 3 or 4 days a week at a time, and my time at the hospital was way easier and less stressful than being home with my kids. So when Kevin said that his company is going to send him to Taiwan, I found out that I couldn't work here in Taiwan, and I realized that I have to be a stay-home mom, and I was crying almost every day. I didn't want to be a stay-home mom. I was a career woman, and I wanted to, be a doctor. But God really changed my heart, and He made me see that motherhood is so precious and motherhood is so important. I remember one story when I was at the hospital. I used to take care of inpatients, and I would work like 8 to 10 hours, and then I'll go home at like 6 p.m. and I'll take calls from home all night. And so one time a nurse called me and said that there was a patient that was bleeding in the hospital and she needed me to come in to see the patient. And at that time, my kids, they were not sleep trained, so I was trying to put them to sleep, and they really wanted me to be next to them. And I couldn't. I said, no, go to sleep, I have to go. And I yelled at them because I was so impatient. I felt I was torn between two worlds. And I realized that there was one specific incident that God used to break my heart for my kids, because anybody can take care of those patients. Any doctor can be the doctor that takes care of the patients in the hospital, but I'm their only mom. I'm the only one that can love them, that can be their mom. So when God broke my heart about that, he slowly changed my heart to see how precious motherhood is, and that giving up my career is not a sacrifice, it's actually a blessing in disguise from God. And so when we moved here, I believe that God had a plan for our whole family, not just for my husband's career, but a good plan for our whole family. And I'm very thankful for that. And after we moved here, the 1 month after I moved here, I got pregnant with Ava. And so I was very happy to have a baby girl. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I forget what was my yes. I'm enjoying these stories. So yes, my biggest yes with my kids has definitely been the move here to Taiwan. So Clay and I knew before we even got married that our future would be doing missions in Taiwan, and we're excited about that. But then the Lord had us wait for a very long time before He allowed us to come back. So we ended up getting married and stayed in the States for about 10 years. Maybe even more than that, before we had the go-ahead. So then by then we had, when we moved here, our girls were 6, 4, and 1, had just turned 1. And so it was like I had never thought about really, I mean, I didn't really know how hard it would be to take them away from all that they knew. You know, the school that they were comfortable with, they're really close to my family, where we lived, and all of that. So it was really difficult for me, the older that they got, especially, that just to trust that, like I said earlier, that the Lord was going to meet every need that they had, that he would put, you know, still trusting that he'd put grandparent figures in their life here to pour into them, or just meet all the needs that they had in the States, that were met in the States, that they would be met here. And so that was really scary for me, because I knew, I had lived in Taiwan before, and I just knew how different the culture is from where we were. And as a child, I had never lived away from my family, and we were always really close. So, but the Lord really just convicted my heart, and through prayer and other people that spoke into our lives, just that they're in our family for a reason, and they are called to this as well. And so we're very, our main core value is our family, is our whole family is on mission. So I knew coming here that this was God's best for them also, because they were in our family, and because God had called each one of them, even if they didn't know yet. And it was just within the first year, it was really exciting to see, because we would tell them, you know, this is a journey that the Lord's calling us on, and he's calling you to be a missionary here also, and to tell people about his love. And within the first few months of being here, just because we got to speak that over them, they both gave their lives to Christ, and we were able to baptize them like within the first year of living here. And they've always been very excited about doing that with their classmates, and just relationship building, and just loving on people here. So that has been confirmation too, that the Lord has called them to be missionaries as well. So.
Yeah, you can clap.
we're running out of time. Okay, we have a few more questions, but I'll try to direct it. You've mentioned a few, in general, some challenges or trials that you faced as mothers. And, you know, there's definitely a gift. Motherhood's a gift, right? But there's definitely some heartache and pain that comes. And even when we look at Mary's life, she understood that very well, being the mother of Jesus, right? Because even from the time she was pregnant with Jesus, she faced the potential risk of ridicule and mockery, and then having to protect his identity growing up. And of course, then when he faced the cross, she was with him at all times, even at the foot of the cross when she saw her own son die and crucified to the cross. And so it's a very real thing that any of us have to face in life. But I'd like to just have you share a specific challenge or trial that you've had to face. And I'd like Rhonda, if you could share a little bit of your story.
So this was actually before we were pregnant with Karis. But one of the reasons we saw later that we were still in the States was a lot of things happened with both of us, a lot of crazy health things. And anyways, so one of the biggest challenges that I'd ever, the biggest challenge I've ever walked through really was, there was a time just after we got married. So we got married in March, and in about August, I started having some health problems, and it just started with some pain, and then it spread to my joints, and just so bad that I couldn't even, at night, I would have to wake Clay up to help turn over in the bed, and every morning he would have to help me out of the bed, and I would just stand there and cry because it hurt so bad to stand up on my ankles. It was a really weird thing, and so they were, for months, they did all of these tests, and it was such a frustrating time for me because I was like, you know, Clay and I had finally decided to get married, to get married, and we moved forward, and we were excited about our future, and so it was just like this huge brick wall, it felt like, and just a lot of fear. I had always been the kind of person that, you know, if you said, oh, my back hurts, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I think I have that too. So I was always like this hypochondriac kind of person anyway. And so to be having these health problems that no one could figure out what was wrong with me, you can imagine where my mind went. And don't even get on Google, because you're dead in about a week. So yeah, it was just such a challenging time for me with trusting the Lord. And I was like, here we just got married. We've been married for a few months. You know, we were still in this honeymoon stage where it was like, I was, you know, we had thought maybe in the future we would move to Taiwan and start a coffee house ministry. And so I was working at Starbucks so I could know how to make coffee. And I was at a pottery class, like all the things I'd wanted to always do and knew that I wouldn't after we had kids, I was doing. And then I couldn't move. And so anyways, it was just several months of really re-surrender with the Lord and just questioning him and what in the world. Like, I wanted us to, we were going to start a family pretty soon because we were a little bit older. And so I was like, you know, there's no way that we can have kids because it's not fair. In my mind, I was like, I'm going to be dead in 5 years. So it's not fair to have kids and leave them with Clay. I mean, really, like, my mind was just in such a terrible place at times. And so it was just up and down with the Lord. And so through a series of events, they had tested me for lupus a couple times and different arthritis. Was it called rheumatoid arthritis and all these different things? And they all kept coming up negative, and they kept more and more tests. And then I had some lymph nodes, and so there were, or that were some knots in my neck, and they were like, "Let's, maybe it's lymphoma," you know, just like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's, okay, let's just check for that. And so, anyways, so it came back that it was just this really rare thing called sarcoidosis. And I had to wait for a while before I could even go to the specialist. And so, yeah, it was just a journey of true trust with the Lord, because it wasn't like I had an answer. Even after I knew what it was, I had to wait like 3 or 4 months to get in with a specialist. And the whole time we were just praying and about our future, and because, you know, we knew we wanted kids, and we knew we had this plan to come to Taiwan, and we're so confused, or I was. Clay was pretty steady through the whole thing, which was great and annoying at the same time. But we finally went to this doctor, and he said, you know, you're the youngest person I've ever seen with this type of sarcoidosis. He said, but the fact that it went away after, you know, the symptoms went away after this amount of time with just one round of steroids, and the fact that it was never in your lungs, just around it, and the fact, like, he kept naming all these things, and he got down to, he said, I'm 99% sure this will never come back, so you're free to live your life, go in freedom. And that was, like, basically right at a year after we had been married. And so that was, like, and the Lord was so gracious, too, because we were also walking through the journey of, like, just trusting the Lord to heal us. And do I really need a doctor to confirm that? Or, you know, but he was just really gentle with me because he knew I was still really early in that journey as well, that he was like, it's okay to go to the doctor. It's okay to ask for that confirmation as well. And I believe that doctor was also a believer. And so we had, you know, confirmation from the Lord, peace from the Lord, and then from the doctor. And even before, just a real quick before that, like, but when we were in college and didn't even know each other, the Lord gave each of us a name for our first daughter, and we didn't know that. Like, I heard the name Charis, which means grace in Greek, and I heard that, and I just knew in my spirit, like, years and years ago, that that would be the name that I wanted to name my daughter. That I was supposed to name one of my daughters that. And so I never told Clay that, and then on our honeymoon, I was like, oh, you know, did I ever say if we ever have a girl, what I feel like she should be named? And I told him, and he was like, what? He said, in Greek class in college, I wrote on the top of my paper, Charis, little girl's name. And I was like, well, if you told me that, we probably would have gotten married a long time ago. And so right after we were freed medically, we got pregnant immediately, and we're within a month. And we were like, well, this has got to be her, you know. We didn't know at first, but so her middle name also is Eliana, which means God answered. So we felt like it had all come together, like God answered us with his grace for this family and for our future. But just a strong reminder that I really needed to trust the Lord with our future as well as hers, and that, you know, whatever his plan is best. So, yeah.
Pastor Hope, would you briefly share any challenge you've had, especially raising, you have teenage boys now.
I think the most challenging time was when one of my boys, when he was 14, because of his peers, that he was very drifted during that time, although he still come to church every Sunday. But for example, on one specific Monday night, I know his cram school night should be from 7 to 9, but when he arrived at home, it's 11. And it happens almost every week. And ask him, where did you go? He said, oh, to the night market. And it's very hard for me to imagine somebody can eat so long in the night market for 2 hours. But I have no other way. I don't want to stalking him. I don't want to do that. But I just pray for him and pray for him. And I pray around his classroom, around his school almost every night. And I praise the Lord. When he was turning 15, he totally changed. So I praise God because God is faithful and God knows what we need. So as I want to say, praying mom is the best.
We have a few more minutes, but I just want to ask one last question, and related to what Ramel was preaching last week about fathers and spiritual parenting. And for many of us here who aren't yet actual fathers and mothers yet, we can definitely be spiritual parents, right, in our lives, no matter what season of whether we're married or not or have kids or not. And it's something we've been talking about that also we believe that this generation really is in need of these spiritual mothers and fathers. And so it's really just, you know, taking someone under their wing, being a mentor, being someone who can disciple another person. And we can see that in a spiritual family, which is really what our series is all about and who we are as a people, as believers. So I'd just like to ask if you could offer any encouragement to those of us who are not parents yet, don't have children yet, but we can be encouraged as spiritual mothers and fathers. Jalen, do you have any encouragement or advice?
Yes. Well, I think some people may feel like your life is not complete yet until you get married, or your life hasn't started until you get married and have kids. And I used to think that way too. So, but I realized that when we think that if we don't have that one thing, then my life is not complete, we're actually making that one thing, even though it's a good thing, we're making that one thing into an idol. And that because we should feel complete in God, whether we are rich, whether we are poor, whether we are whether we have family or not, whether we have a spouse or not, we should be content. Just like Paul said, in all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content. And I also have come to realize that, you know, my kids are just on loan from God. I'm just God has given me to them as a steward, and that they will grow up to become my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we go to heaven, they're not going to be my children anymore. My spouse is not going to be my spouse in heaven anymore. But the ones that we disciple, the ones that we lead into the kingdom of Christ, kingdom of God, they will be in eternity with us. And so what kind of legacy do you want to have? That's my question. The ones that I have invested time in, my spiritual family, they will be in heaven with me forever. And so you can have a great and lasting legacy in heaven, even if you do not have children. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times more in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Luke 18:29-30.
So you talked about discipleship and spiritual family. So could either Rhonda or Pastor Hope speak to one, like a practical way that we can serve, I guess, as spiritual mothers and fathers?
Yes, I would just say, you know, a lot of times we think that we aren't equipped enough to, I don't know enough to lead a Bible study, or don't know enough to do this or that. But one thing I learned here, and when I was single, I lived here for a year and a half doing missions, just out of college. And so one thing that we were taught then and really has stuck with us is just if you're in the Word and you're growing, the Lord is going to bring you people to share. Even just sharing, I mean, I can't tell you how many times where you'll read something or be learning something, and then a friend or someone will come up and start talking to you, and they're dealing with something that you can be like, oh, well, I just read this, or I'm just learned this. Like, you don't have to have a degree, you don't have to have a special platform or anything. Like, just, I would just say, love the person that's in front of you and just pray for God to bring, I've always prayed that he would bring people into my life that he wants me to invest in. And sometimes it's just through a conversation. Sometimes it's meeting every week, but just look for those opportunities and don't count yourself out just because you don't feel like you know enough or live good enough or whatever. You always have something to share and something to pour in, and it makes more of a difference than you'll know until eternity.
That's great. Thank you. Well, can we give these women a hand as they were sharing with us today? I know at least for a lot of the women I know, we could probably keep talking, but for the sake of, you know, time and for this service, we'll just end with that. But there were some themes, I think, that were brought up of just in your response to God and your yes to God as a mother, and even in different seasons of your life, that I hope that we could all kind of glean from and be encouraged by in our life. And the last thing that you were just sharing about in community and being in spiritual family is, I guess, thinking even beyond the now, right? Jalen was just saying, like, what it means to leave a legacy, or what does that look like? And I would just want to kind of reiterate what she was saying and even pose that question of, you know, what kind of legacy are you leaving? Like, are we just concerned with our work, even though that's great, or the things that we are trying to attain, but like, what are we doing in impacting the lives of those around us, even our own children, or who we're mentoring or discipling? So I hope that we can be encouraged in that. And I think we'll just leave it at that for today in our special panel. If you could give them a round of applause one more time. Thank you so much.
All right, that was excellent. We're gonna close with a worship song. Lita and the team will lead us with a song. And that was so, we're so rich in this spiritual family to have very wise mothers who have been through thick and thin and have learned these valuable lessons that don't come easy. But God gave them these lessons. You know, Pastor Hope just been through the fire as a missionary in Hong Kong. I mean, you just hear her stories, and Rhonda and Jalen. God's called all of us here, and these mothers are available as a resource to you. If you're struggling with something, you're going through something, don't go at it alone, but reach out. They're more than willing, more than happy to bless you and encourage you. And, you know, it's like, every child is a gift from God. Every child is precious, but every spiritual child is also so precious. And we want that spirit in our congregation to just value every individual, every soul that comes in and becomes a part of our family. So I'm going to turn it over to Lita.
Stand and sing together.
You have been so, so good to me.
To me.
Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. was your fault.